For those of you who are visiting, once again, welcome. We're blessed to have you here. And as Pastor Guy mentioned already, we are taking a break from our normal study. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be looking at chapter 9 from verse 35 to verse 38. And if you need a Bible, please raise your hand so that way you can follow along with us. And if you do not have one personally, please consider that a gift from us to you. And while you're turning there, I do want to just invite you to come on back tonight. Dominique is going to be sharing more of his story and worship songs as well, some of the things that God has given to him as an artist, and I know you'll be blessed. And so it'll start tonight at 6, and you also notice on the East Commons, he has a table set up, and so if you want to extend some love and go check it out and purchase any of those things, I know it'd be a greatly huge benefit and support to him. But I'm thankful. Man, it's been a while. Actually, my hair was a lot longer than his in the past. You think I could pull that off? What do you think? Nah. Some people it looks good. Others it just doesn't fit. But anyways, he looks good. One of the things that has been a blessing is just to see people over the years of ministry staying faithful and walking with the Lord. And he's one of them. You know, I can't even remember how long it's been, but we've had the blessing of serving in Las Vegas and then in Mexico at an outreach that we did in Mazatlan. And now he's here and ministering with us here in Utah, of all places. So awesome. Blessed to have him. Well, listen, as you have your Bibles open, today again is going to be a short message. Why don't you all stand with me? Out of reverence for the Lord, if you can. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Father, we thank you again for this time that we can open up your word and take a portion of scripture and be encouraged that we as a fellowship are falling in line with the very things that you not only preached, but the way that you lived life while you were here on this earth. I pray, God, that you would bless us with giving us insight today, not anything new, but Lord, sparking our heart to see what our responsibility is today. And that is to continue, Lord, the work that you began, to go from all throughout this world and share the love of Jesus. So God, help us to see how we play a part in this. And I pray for every heart and every person here that you would just, God, spark a burden in our heart for those who don't know you. So today we want you to be our teacher. Speak to us. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, as we look at this portion of scripture, I just want to give you a simple outline. And even though there's only four verses here, verse 35 really will express Jesus' mission in coming into this world. And then in verse 36, we're going to see his concern for those who are, as he considered, sheep, the lost, those who are without spiritual guidance. And then the last two verses, 37 and 38, we're going to see Jesus give his disciples a challenge. And so this is our simple outline, but as he challenged them back in this portion of scripture, listen, beloved, we are his disciples today, so this is a challenge for us. And so the heart today is just to walk through this and then share with you some of the things that God, I believe, is leading us as a church. And the challenges that I'm going to give are going to be one that you can respond to. And I know what you may be thinking, oh, here it comes. He's going to ask for money, okay? That's not the case, okay? I want you to follow along with me as we go through this portion of scripture and see how Jesus responded to the need. And when we follow what Jesus says, then he is the one who enables us to do what he puts a burden in our heart to do. And so here we are looking at verse 35, and which is Jesus' mission. Jesus went out about all the city and villages, and what was his purpose? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And of course, this is the priority, and notice what followed, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Please understand and know the order of what we just looked at. When we see this portion of scripture, the first thing I want to point out is as Jesus began his public ministry, notice he did not remain in one location. It was not that he was isolating himself or just waiting for everybody to come to him. Jesus' desire was to be on the move and to go out. And majority of his ministry took place in the region or the area of Galilee. Now, when you look at the study through the life of Jesus and you go through the gospel accounts, he went above Galilee into Phoenicia, and he also went through Samaria, which was crossing over cultural boundaries. He also would travel into Judea, the center of worship. So Jesus moved around, and every opportunity that he had was to fulfill the calling that his Father had given him. And if you were to look in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, listen, Jesus had an amazing day of ministry in Capernaum. He was in the synagogue, and while he was there, he healed a man in front of everybody. Everybody was all like, what just happened, right? I mean, let's just think about this for a second. We got a pretty good sized room this morning, and let's just say, you know, that somebody just all of a sudden stood up with an unclean spirit and we prayed over him and he was delivered. Okay, thank you. I was hoping somebody would be excited about it. You know, it's bad enough being possessed and nobody cheering when you get set free. Come on now. Think about this. He healed a man. And everybody was talking about it. Who could this be? And the moment that they left the synagogue, because it was the Sabbath, they had to wait till the evening, and everybody began to talk about it. Later that evening, they're at Simon's home. People started bringing all of the sick, everybody who had some kind of infection or whatever, health issues, those who were possessed by demons, and Jesus throughout this night began to heal people. Next day, he wakes up early in the morning before the sun rises, and what does he do? He finds a place for him to go and pray, to spend time with his Father. And the disciples wake up, everybody's coming back to the house, they're all looking for Jesus. Where is he? Have no idea. And they go and they find him. And when the disciples find him, what do they say? Hey, everybody's looking for you. Let's go back. Let's do what we did last night. Let's just repeat it. And what was Jesus' answer to them? His answer was no. And he gave them a reason why. He said, we're not going to go back where it's comfortable. We're not going to go back where we have everything laid out for us. But we are going to go, and it says in verse 38 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So the first thing I want us to make sure that we understand about Jesus' mission, his primary ministry was to go into the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because Jesus came to redeem what rightfully belonged to him. Come on now, this is important. Jesus came specifically to redeem you, to restore you to a right relationship with God where you truly belong. Okay? This is powerful. Come on, church, we got to understand and know the depth of what Jesus did for us. That he came to deliver us from all of our sins and listen, for all of humanity, he came to provide a way for us to be made right with God. He made that way for us to spend everlasting life with him. So Jesus is the one who provided forgiveness of all of our sins. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Not only did he do that, but again, to think of the fact that Jesus desires to spend all eternity with you. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, and even you. Okay? Is any of us in this room deserving of that? Absolutely not, but yet this is God's gift to us, that we would have this amazing privilege of spending everlasting life with God. And we just sang one of these songs about what it's going to actually be like when we're in heaven with him. And so it's an amazing opportunity for us to see the blessings that Jesus made possible for us. The Bible tells us very clearly in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus' purpose in coming was to, again, go into all the cities and villages teaching and preaching the gospel, how to become right with God. He not only went into the big cities, but he also went into those areas where many people would not go. You can find this in John chapter 4, where he actually went through Samaria and actually talked to a Samaritan woman out in daylight. So Jesus was willing to go places. And how many of us remember how the religious leaders criticized him for the crowd that he hung out with? A bunch of tax collectors and sinners, the outcast, those who have absolutely no desire to know who God is. And yet Jesus was with them. And I just want to point this out because I think all of you know this, but just for safety's sake, I'm not giving you permission to go hang out in darkness. Okay? And if you do, listen carefully. Remember, if you are going to follow Jesus' example, he was an influence on them, not the other way around. Okay? So here Jesus was able to meet people where they're at, whether in a home or in a place of instruction. It didn't matter. Jesus was willing to go to anybody and everybody who would ever give him an ear. So when we see this amazing blessing that God has given us, what do we see in verse 35 once again? Jesus' overall mission, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And I think it's important for us to point out what we mean by the lost are those who don't know, who may know of God by name, but don't know him in a personal and intimate relationship with him. Many people will say, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, yeah? Well, tell me about him. Well, you know, he's God. I've heard people say, well, you know, he's the man upstairs. He's much more than that. People may know of his name. People may even wear a cross on their neck. But do you really understand and know the depth of who God is and what that cross means? And this is what I want us to see, his mission. Jesus came specifically to save those who don't know. And so not only do we see this in verse 35, but I also want you to notice verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So as Jesus, again, traveled from place to place and as the multitude gathered around him, there were some thousands of people that began to follow him. But notice this, it wasn't about the crowd. What was Jesus' concern? His heart was moved with compassion. His heart was moved, once again, with compassion. And this word means not just to, it means to be deeply moved, a willingness to help and not just feel bad about something. It's not just to have pity. How many of us have made the mistake of doing that? Oh, look at that poor guy, and then you drive off. How many of us have thought, oh, you know what, I probably should have stopped and helped that guy push. Well, never mind, it's okay. Jesus will be with him. Some of us laugh because we've been guilty of it, huh? And I think it's important for us to see that when Jesus looked at this crowd of people, he used an expression that his disciples would have understood, which is shepherding and sheep. And it's, of course, back in that time and culture, very common for them to see shepherds. And true shepherds are one who own the sheep. This is not a hireling, one who just babysits and doesn't care anything about them. This is his personal investment. And this shepherd will do anything and everything he can to help protect and provide for his sheep. And this is what Jesus wanted his disciples to see. He looked at this crowd as though they were lost, having no guidance, no spiritual understanding, walking around in darkness and vulnerable to the threats that are around them. Now, I don't know if any of you like watching documentaries, National Geographic stuff or whatever, but if you ever see a lion or a leopard or a tiger or whatever, any of those pretty fierce looking animals on the hunt for food, like they don't play with their food. They go straight for the kill, and they normally go for the one who is straying away from the crowd, and they look for the smallest one. And when they find that one, they bolt. And this is the way Jesus viewed people: vulnerable, without any protection, without anybody to help guide them to that place as the good shepherd would in Psalm 23, where they could find the still water and green pastures. Jesus looked at this crowd and said, there is absolutely no spiritual care for these people. And what's sad is because there were religious leaders there. There were religious leaders who their responsibility was to direct the nation of Israel to the true shepherd. And yet, what were they doing? Keeping them from him, trying to discredit him, not believing that he literally was the Messiah or the Christ. And so it is amazing to see when Jesus looked at this crowd and he realized who were in darkness. And today, listen, it doesn't matter how many years you come to this church. It's not the church that saves you. It's your personal heart, your belief in who Jesus is. And I've seen and I can testify that there have been people who've been a part of churches for years and years and years. And some of them will walk forward at an altar call and we're thinking, oh, so you're recommitting your life. And it's like, no, Pastor, I've never accepted him in my life before. Jesus knows every heart in this place. Jesus knows if we are being sincere in our relationship or we're not. Jesus understands and knows everything about us. And as a good shepherd, what does he want to do? Feed us from his word. So that way we can be drawn to him, so that his Holy Spirit will open up our hearts and our understanding to receiving this beautiful message. So Jesus wants to be that good shepherd to all people. And what blows me away is, again, when you look at the scriptures, there are other people who also had the same heart as Jesus. We've been walking through the Apostle Paul's life. We just finished Galatians. Now we're in Ephesians. And one of the things that we know is Paul shared the same concern for the lost. Do you realize that the Apostle Paul had such a deep burden for his own countrymen that in Romans chapter 9, he literally, if he could do this, listen, if he had the ability and it was possible, he would actually switch out his place for his countrymen, for those who rejected Jesus, switch places with them so that they would receive Jesus and he would be accursed. That's pretty deep. What do you guys think? Right? You give up your ticket into heaven for somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. Any takers? Right? That's what he wished he could do. That's how much of a burden he had for people. And what is amazing to me is that when we look at the Apostle Paul, how many of us see him as the most amazing servant and missionary recorded in the Bible? Are you guys with me? Absolutely. But what made him that way? Let me share a couple of things. He cared about people's salvation. Listen, he was once on this side, trying to destroy the church, and now coming into a personal relationship with Jesus. Now he's on Team Jesus. And now he's preaching the gospel, planting churches, going on missionary journeys. His heart was to see people get saved from where he once was, walking in darkness. So he cared for people and their salvation. He prayed for their salvation. This is a challenge. Listen, how many of us have people in our life right now that are just getting under your skin? Amen. Okay. It happens. And instead of just venting, when was the last time you stopped and prayed for them? When was the last time that you saw somebody, you know, not doing things that were right, that you would literally stop and pray that they would somehow, God would intervene and they would see the light? We see it happening all the time. We may not see it as much in St. George, but man, you can turn on the news and you can see a lot going on in our world. You can see people, you know, doing each other wrong, and it just amazes me. We can complain really good about people when they act foolish, but let's do something different. Instead of venting and criticizing and making fun of people, wouldn't it be better as believers in Christ to pray for them? And so Paul not only prayed for them, but his prayer turned into action. Why? Because he was sent out. He prayed, and that prayer led him to go. Acts chapter 13, when they were in the church in Antioch, they were ministering in the church, and it was the Holy Spirit that called out and said, "Set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work of the ministry, to go out and preach the gospel," which began his missionary journeys. And of course, as he went out, what made his ministry so powerful? It wasn't because of the Apostle Paul. It was because of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who was touching the lives of people. It was the gospel message that was helping people turn from that old sinful nature to now living with him and walking in the new. And so this is what made Paul an amazing servant missionary. But I want to just draw your attention to this. Jesus' concern, once again, was that people are lost and wandering without any hope. Sounds like the news today, doesn't it? Sounds like our world. Many people walking around lost and without any hope. And many of these people are trying to fill their hearts with worldly things, which are only temporary. But when it comes to Jesus, those things are eternal. And so in verses 37 and 38, notice what it says here. Then he said to his disciples, after sharing his concern with them, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, because of this, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." When it says here, the harvest is plentiful, what does this mean? Well, again, Jesus using times and stories and earthly things to help communicate the truth of the gospel message. But he wanted the disciples to have this picture in their mind of a farmer who did all of the hard work, plowed his field, planted his seed, watered the soil, and then watched the harvest grow and seeing a multitude of grain or wheat and just covering his whole field. What used to be dirt is now food. And standing there and looking at this whole field that needs to now be harvested, way too much work for one farmer to do. And Jesus' intention in sharing this simple illustration was this. Jesus wanted his disciples to pray. You see, as a farmer sees, there's people all around us who are lost and who actually look like wheat in a field. And what do those people need? Somebody to come by and harvest. Someone to come by and help them, guide them into those spiritual truths that will lead them to God. Jesus' picture that he wanted them to see is that this work is too much for just one person. Jesus spent almost 3 years of his public ministry raising up the 12 disciples to carry on the work that he began. It was all preparation for what was ahead. And when we see this, as he said, the first thing I want you to do is know what concerns me. The second thing is, what are you going to do about it? And Jesus instructed them, pray. Did you guys see that? Pray to who? The Lord of the harvest, which is God. That as you pray and as you seek God and you give God this concern, then what is the prayer? That God would raise up men or women to go out and help with guiding those who are lost into a right relationship with God. This is the beauty of what this whole simple portion of Scripture is impacting for us. Jesus came specifically to save, and it wasn't just a to-do list so that he can hurry up and go back to heaven. How many of you have ever done that? You have a task that you need to do, and it's like, I really don't like this, but I'm going to do it anyway, and you hurry up and do it, check, and you just move on. That's not Jesus. Jesus had a burden and a concern and a heart for everybody. It wasn't just limited to the nation of Israel. Jesus had so much of a love for his own creation that he desired to do something about it. And what was that? To raise up men and women to go out into the world and to continue the work that he began by spreading the gospel. And today, what a blessing it is, because I'm looking at a room full of miracles that have been given today because of faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who gave you the gospel. I'm thankful for the way that God used the disciples and they became pillars of the church. I'm thankful for the way that God used the Apostle Paul and many others such as Titus and Timothy and other people, even women, to further the gospel. And today, Jesus is calling out to us as his followers, and the challenge would still remain for us today. And so what do I want to do as today is our missions focused Sunday is to remind you of his mission, to remind you what mattered most to Jesus and his care and his concern for the souls of people. And the next thing he said was to pray. I want to take these three things and now I want to challenge us with this. I pray that we as a church, Calvary Chapel, St. George, would care for people as well. That we too, as a church, would not just be content in building our own little kingdom. That we would just only be excited about those who attend the service. Like, you know, we have another service, right? Another group of people who sit in the exact same chairs you're sitting in. So those aren't your chairs, okay? We have another set of family here that some of you may not even know. But it's not about just Calvary Chapel. We have a whole community that doesn't know Jesus. We have a whole community who know him by name, but they don't know the Jesus of the Bible. And because of this, I pray that that would spark something in our heart. Because no matter where we go, you may get a knock on your door. You may get people from different religions coming and wanting to share with you what they believe is the right gospel. Does it burden you to see that? Does it bother you? Like you're driving by, how many of you want to yell out your window, don't listen to them? That's not the right way to do it. What is? Spend time and share the love of Jesus from the Bible and what you believe in who Jesus is. We have such an amazing opportunity to care for people. We have an amazing opportunity not just to have compassion, but to do something about it. We have the ability today to care for people and have the resources to get them to the help that they need. What we have in our hand, beloved, is the most valuable gift that we could ever give anybody. It is the Word of God that gives the full counsel of God. And what God has already written in His Word, He has the ability to speak through His Word today. And because of that Word, what is it promising? For those who believe in the finished work of the cross and what Jesus did from dying and raising from the grave, that our sins can be forgiven and we can be accepted into the kingdom of God and live with God for all eternity. Amen. There's no hidden secrets here. God's given it to us all. And so not only do we need to care for people, we need to have a burden for them. And the other thing, again, we need to be praying for people. What Jesus commanded His disciples, notice again the instruction, pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers. We need to pray that God would raise up and send those to go out into this world and to share the gospel. And I believe with all my heart, in a room such as this, that there are some of you in this room that God has given you a calling in your life to serve Him as a missionary, to serve Him in a way to go into another part of the world and share the gospel, to share the love of who Jesus is to other people groups. There are some in here that God may say, you may not have the ability to go, but you have the ability to partner and send people out. You have the ability to take what God has blessed you with and then be able to pass those blessings on. You know, one of the things that I can honestly say as a missionary who served out in the Philippines for 12 years, there were seasons where God blessed us financially. And in those seasons, it was never about, oh, look at what God did for us. Our prayer was always, Lord, you blessed us with these resources. For what reason? Is there somebody else that can use this? It wasn't just about us. It was about taking what God has given us and passing it on to other people. And so we have the amazing opportunity to not only ask God to raise up and to send people out, but today over in our West Commons area, we have Mexico, we have Thailand, we have Africa, we have Cambodia, we have England. We have these specific locations that God has raised up people within this fellowship to go and to be a light in this world. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Come on now. This is again important for you to understand. Missions for us is not a program of our church. It is the program of the church. Okay? It's here from God's word, and His instructions are very clear that as He's entrusted this precious message to us that is life-changing, not to be kept a secret. He has called us to take it and to share it with other people. So we have not only the opportunity to pray that God would raise up people, we already have people out there, so then what's the next thing? Pray that God would allow us the blessing to partner with them. That God would give us the ability to lift their arms up in prayer. And if you don't know this, once a month, every first Wednesday of the month, we invite you to come so we could do this. It's not just that we preach about it, we do it. We have different groups over here, here, back of the church. All these four sections of the church, people are gathering and are faithful to praying for our workers. Doesn't cost a thing to pray. And so we want to encourage you. Come on out, listen to the praise reports, listen to the prayer request. And it doesn't have to only happen here on Wednesday night. We have the ability to pray for them anytime we want. I always found it interesting why we make prayer cards and put a magnum on it so that people can put it on the refrigerator. But I found out the reason why. You wanna know why? Because you need to eat. And if you go into your refrigerator, you're for sure going to see that picture. And listen, they're not missionaries that have the sad looking face. Not a guilt trip. Partnering with them is a blessing, not a burden. And so we have this amazing beauty set before us. So today, What is my challenge for us today? My challenge is at the end of this service that we would go and that you would walk around the tables and you would begin to look at all of the different workers that we are partnering with, that we have sent out. And all I'm asking you to do is take their prayer card. And when you take their prayer card, what is it that I want you to do with it? As the Lord instructed, pray to the Lord for the harvest, that he would raise up laborers, and these are our laborers, that God would bless them, watch over them, protect them, keep them safe. As they're out representing the Lord in these other countries, we can at least pray for them. Would you agree? Amen. The next thing that I want you to know is not only for our workers, but we have other tables out there. Because this year, I'm happy to announce that God has now expanded what we have a desire to do in missions. Our heart is to minister to those in the 1040 window, to areas that have the most amount of people, and it's the least amount of people who have heard the name of Jesus. There are so many other dominating religions in this area, and I want to encourage you, this is the area that God has called us to. A lot more difficult than going to Hawaii. A lot more difficult than going down to the Philippines. These are areas where people can literally be persecuted because of their faith. So there are a group of people out there who have a calling to go. And you might say, praise the Lord, send them. Not me, but send them. And that's true. We're doing what God asked us to do. Pray. But we now have the privilege of partnering with an organization called Faith Comes by Hearing. And one of the blessings that we have through this ministry is to have support them in a project where they're making solar-powered MP3 players. And the target of this ministry is to make sure by 2033 that as well as many known languages there are today, that they would translate the Bible, put them on these MP3 players, and for those people who have been felt called to go into this 1040 window, that there would be a dialect that they can take these players and give them to people so they could hear the gospel. That's a huge blessing. Come on now. Think about this for a second. You and I may not be called to go there. And if we did, I'm just going to tell you right now, we would stick out like a sore thumb. But for anybody else who has a desire to go, we could help equip them with the resources to go. And an MP3 player that has the full gospel in a native dialect for them to understand and know who Jesus is a huge opportunity for us to be able to say, we're willing to partner with you. The other ministry is called Promise Child. This is an organization that does both sponsorship for kids, but the other thing is they are supporting a school within Africa, and this school is meant to raise up pastors to go plant churches throughout Africa. This is huge. I've been personally invited to be a part of this, that I would be with a group of pastors that will go and teach at this school and raise up pastors to go all throughout Uganda. This is an amazing opportunity and a blessing that we don't want to miss as a church. So these are some of the two areas of ministry. How about in Mexico? Some of you heard that the base that we supported for many years has closed, but the ministry continues. We are going to support an after-school program called Niños de Rey. It is an after-school program for kids in the neighborhood, which is a very poor neighborhood, to be able to get tutored in school as well as hear the gospel and eat a hot meal. That's it. Eat a hot meal for some of them. And so we have the blessing of partnering with them and seeing that ministry continue on, even though the base isn't there. We also have the blessing of partnering with Calvary Chapel Santa Fe. This church, since we've been doing our Just Go conferences for youth, have been a big part of this. And Pastor Jorge has a very, very strong passion to raise up nationals and go into different parts of Mexico. So we have now the blessing of seeing Just Go grow throughout Mexico. And this specific conference is for youth.
Pastor Jerry, why are you only focusing on the youth? You guys ready for the answer? Because here's the truth. There's too many Christians who are too comfortable. They're super comfortable sitting in a chair. Feed me, feed me, feed me, and yet not doing anything with it. We went from having maybe 50 youth to 60 to then almost 85, 90 youth. Every year that we do the Just Go conference, more and more churches in Mexico, I want a piece of that. My heart is hungering, and I want to go out, and I want to be used by the Lord. And we now have the opportunity to go and minister to the youth and encourage them, because here's the truth. When you start looking at our table and all the workers that are out there, you're going to notice something. This is no disrespect, but they're really old. You'll look at the pictures and see. And if we don't raise up the next generation, what will happen? What will happen to the work that we are doing in Thailand? What will happen to the other work in other areas? It'll diminish. We want to help raise up and send out. The last thing that I want to share with you is this. We have an opportunity to bless and partner with Jeff and Lila Ronsby, who are the directors of the base that we're in Mexico. They're transitioning into Mexico City. They're still going to be the directors over a church planning course that is run through Awaken Las Vegas. And so this family is precious. I served with them in the Philippines, and we get to partner again and serve together now just in Mexico. This is an amazing opportunity, as well as all the others that we have there available for you on the table. And so what I want to do is I have one last challenge. Dominique, come on up, bud. I have one last challenge, and that is this: to understand again that the direction that God has given us as a church is in line with what the scripture says Jesus' heart was, what his mission was, to preach the gospel, to have a concern for the lost, to have the ability to take what God has entrusted to us and pass it on to other people. So how do we play this? How do we fulfill the Great Commission as a church? Well, we are either going to be praying that God would raise up people to go. And here's what I want you to know. Before we send you out, you need to serve in the church first. Don't go, hey, pastor, I got a call to go to Hawaii. Ain't gonna happen. You need to serve in the church first, and then we'll send you out. Second thing is, maybe God isn't sending you out, but you have the capability of sending somebody. And you're going to see and you're going to hear a lot of different stories from different missionaries. I'm not telling you have to support every single one of them. But I'm pretty sure that as we talk about missions and where God has us, some people have a heart for Mexico. Others have a heart for Thailand. Others will have a heart for England. Others will have a heart for Africa. Listen, doesn't matter where. All I want you to do is act upon it. And how do you act upon it? Either spiritually, which what God instructed us to do, pray. And when you pray, God will lead your prayers into actions by either going or sending. God is the one who speaks to your heart and puts it upon your heart to give. We don't do that. We open up the door for you to be able to hear from God and then act upon it. But I can tell you this, before you leave, our greatest desire is to keep building for God's kingdom. We have ways that we as a church can partner. And can you imagine just within this one service, how much our workers would be blessed knowing that this many people are praying for them on a regular basis? And of course, again, when they come, this is my greatest desire. As you take those prayer cards, then none of our workers would ever walk into our church building and we address them and walk up to them and go, is this your first time at Calvary? I'm one of your missionaries. Oh, my bad. I pray that that would never happen. I pray that we as a church today would know who we're supporting, who we're praying for. And as they come home, we would welcome them, love on them, provide for them, give graciously to them, because they are the ones out there that are sacrificing and making adjustments in their personal lives to serve the Lord in another country. Beloved, we have it blessed, but I don't ever want us to get comfortable. I told you we bought 3-hour chairs. I could change that. We can only do 2 hours and make you go, right? But my heart behind this is this. I don't want to just be here killing time until Jesus comes. I want us to be busy about our Father's business. So let's take the challenge today as a church. Grab a prayer card. Start praying for our workers. And what God leads you to do from that point on, again, that's between you and Him. You can support a worker spiritually through communication and prayer, or you can support them financially, but let God lead you in that decision. Our heart today is to make the need known. We will be a church that has a desire to fulfill the Great Commission. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity that we had to look to your word and to understand and the depth, God, of your primary ministry, and that was to come and seek after the lost. Today, when we follow in that footsteps, that we would be willing to share and to plant seeds of hope into hearts that are hurting, that are in darkness and in need, Lord, of a Savior. We've all been there. So thank you, Jesus, for touching our lives, for changing us and giving us the ability to know you personally, to know that all of our sins are forgiven, and that we have an opportunity to spend everlasting life with you. So God, today is a day that we want to rejoice in that. We want to lift up our workers around the world. We want to pray for your protection over them. We want to pray for those who are in places that we can't even discuss over the internet. And we want to ask God, from those planting seeds to those rescuing those out of sex trafficking, for those who are in countries, Lord, that again, where civil wars are happening, we pray for a hedge of protection around them. God, would you go before them and help each and every one of them to fulfill the calling that you've given them. And for us as a fellowship, thank you that we get to partner with them. Thank you that we get to support them. Thank you that we can, again, build for your kingdom, Lord. So I pray that none of us would ever forget we all play a part. So would you please, Lord, bless this service, bless our workers. We look forward to the great things that we're going to do throughout 2025 and around the world, that we can keep planting seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ into people's hearts. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, family, let's worship the Lord.